pheromones. The monster sprinted across the sixth floor to the next stairway, knocking undead out of the way with its prodigious strength. The good news about going downward was that the mean level of the undead was lower than the ones it had already fought above. The bad news was there were thousands of the fuckers. Still, by momentum and ferocity, it barreled down the stairs, throwing another three boulders ahead of it. Just as before, these rocks riveted the attention of the undead. That was the good news. The bad news was that the mauler had the stench on it as well now, and the undead it was attracting were being driven into a frenzy. Richter rode the mauler, only feet above the sea of undead, his hand wrapped around a greasy and disgusting patch of hair. Despite the mauler's immense strength and high level, the skeletons, ghouls, and zombies were slowing it down. Soon, they would drown the beast in pure numbers. The labyrinth boss screamed in rage, and the colossal skeleton bellowed back. The Devastator had paused, allowing the smaller undead to load themselves onto it, but seeing another enemy giant, it took a massive step forward. Its bony feet crushed undead with every step, but nothing would keep it away from an enemy that had dared to challenge it. That was exactly what Richter needed. The Devastator had to get closer before he did what came next. Looking down, he ignored the little voice inside of him that was screaming, "No!" It wasn't Alma. It was his rational mind telling him to do anything else. Piss into the wind, shit in his hand, bareback in Hong Kong, any of that would be smarter than this. He ignored all of that. He was American. It was time to fuck shit up. And hope it didn't fucking kill him in the process. Richter had never used this spell on the mauler before, because its will was already barely contained by his blood magic. Now was not the time for half measures, though. Ignoring the horde of murderous undead only feet away, Richter used cloud running to jump to the mauler's shoulder. Balancing up there while it swung its arms about was like riding a wave, and would have been impossible without his high stats, but he managed it for the seconds it took to cast his spell. A sense of pure rightness filled him as the swirling gray energy surrounded his hands. 5 seconds later, he released the energy of chaos and let it flow directly into the monster he was standing upon. The mauler began to change. It grew bigger. It grew blacker. And somehow, it got meaner. Know this, your spell Akatan Evolution has evolved your Tovut Mauler into a Void Chain Mauler, one of 6 possible evolutions. Attack, +36. Armor, +29. Speed, +38. Special abilities, Chained Dominance. Know this, void creatures have a hatred for any creatures not of their plane of existence that transcends almost any enmity in the universe. They would destroy the universe itself if they had the power. What creatures of the void want is nothing less than the destruction of everything in creation and a return to the formless. Between your domination of its will and its new nature, your relationship with Void Chain Mauler has devolved from blind hatred to soul malice. You have gained your second mortal enemy. The Void Chain Mauler will stop at nothing to destroy you. Know this. The essence of void creatures is anathema to almost every other type of magic. The hold from your blood magic has been destroyed. The Void Chain Mauler is no longer under your control. And there it is, Richter thought. I'm fucked. The Mauler raised both arms above its head, screaming its power to the land. Strange undulations began writhing under its matte black skin. The Devastator roared in response, now rushing towards the Mauler, only seconds from attacking. But the one-time labyrinth boss did not care. Instead, it turned its head just enough to see its own shoulder. The Mauler fixed Richter with one rage-filled eye that was as big as a shield, crafted of pure midnight. Richter looked back and knew it was not only promising retribution for its enslavement, but it was also daring him to attack first. To Richter, the question the monster was asking was simple.
Do you want a piece of this, you no-good son of a bitch?
To Richter, the answer was even more obvious.
Good God, no!
That was why an instant later, Richter had jumped off the Mauler's back and was skating through the air as fast as his cloud running would allow. The Mauler screamed in rage even louder than before, and the entire surface of its skin seemed to bubble. Richter didn't know what was happening, but seeing it through Alma's eyes high above was enough to make him run even faster. The Dragonling didn't think it was fast enough. Swooping down, she flew into range to cast weak static earth shield, just as dozens of chains erupted from the Mauler's skin and flew in every direction. Sharp barbs tipped each chain, and every undead they touched was pierced straight through. Neither armor, nor bone, nor decaying flesh could stop them. In a single second, the Lich lost 49 soldiers. They were claimed by the Void. They turned matte black, just like the Mauler, and the green glow of eldritch magic vanished from their eyes. The Mauler was no longer just a monster. It was what monsters feared, and it had only two goals in its hate-filled life. One, to kill and destroy everything in existence. Two, to make sure Richter died first. One chain struck the bubble of earth energy Alma had erected. It easily overcame the defense, and the protective shield shattered, but it was enough to slow the attack for a fraction of a second. That moment, and Alma's warning, let Richter dive to the side on a cushion of air and narrowly miss the deadly tentacle of void magic. As he fell to the ground, the only saving grace was the very ferocity of the Mauler's attack had stunned some of the undead. He rolled, jumped off the ground, and started cloud running again. That still would not have been enough to save him, but then the very essence of Richter's plan came to fruition. He had laid one foot on top of a kneeling skeleton's head and was pushing off it, all the while thinking, "Get that parkour! Get that parkour!" when the Devastator skeleton arrived. Though the labyrinthine monster had evolved into a ridiculously more powerful iteration of itself, the behemoth undead was undaunted. Raising both of its 30-foot-long arms high overhead, it slammed them down on the void Mauler with a force that could have toppled castle walls. The Mauler was laid low, and for just a moment, forgot about Richter. The chains that had bound it to its dozens of slaves lost cohesion, but this was not the end. The physical chains had only morphed into their void form. A second later, the enslavement of the various undead was complete. With a unified screech coming from the 49 hellish throats, the ebon forms of the new voidlings attacked the undead that had been comrades only seconds before. The Mauler looked up as well, and raising one arm, pointed its talons at the Devastator. In a blink, the talons elongated 30 feet and pierced straight through the colossal skeleton. The undead screamed as the void attack not only damaged its body, but the very magical essence that gave it life after death. It felt pain for the first time in centuries and swung another hammering blow onto the Mauler's prone form. The pheromones of the allure potion of the crypt mistress were still thick on the Mauler, making even the smaller undead lust after it and attack it with abandon. But the voidlings defended their new master with otherworldly attacks of massive power. Void magic was something that not even the eldritch magic of the lich could affect. Undead fell by the score. The voidlings were outnumbered, hundreds to one, but they could only be destroyed by attacks of the strongest magic. As the Mauler and Devastator began to trade blows, the strange undulations began to build under the void boss's skin once again.
"That should not have worked, Master!" Alma yelled at him as they sped back up the mausoleum.
While many of the undead were now embroiled in the battle between the undead and the void creatures, there were still hundreds surging towards the portal. Black Ice delivered the final death to several undead trying to stop them, but Richter only touched down when needed. Between his high reflexes and Alma's warnings, they were already back to the sixth floor. Richter continued to fight his way forward and thought back, "You are so right! I can't believe I'm still breathing!" There was a tinge of hysteria in his thoughts. Initially, the only response on the psychic line was a stunned silence from Alma. How she managed to psychically project silence, he had no idea, but then he'd never understood how a woman did that. She shot a bolt of lightning into the face of a skeletal rogue that was getting ready to fire an arrow into him. Richter delivered the coup de grace to the stunned monster and kept running. He was airborne again before the zombie's head even hit the floor.
"You aren't going to argue with me?" Alma asked him incredulously.
"Argue?" Richter thought to her as he cast mirror image. Three copies of himself appeared, and he kept running. "Why would I argue? I can't believe I'm alive! My whole plan was to evolve the Mauler and then run away. I was pretty sure it would be able to break through my control once it evolved, but I had no idea it would turn into some creature that was an enemy of the universe itself. There is no way that should have worked." Alma was silent again as she flew next to him until she said,
"You know what, Master? It absolutely infuriates me that you are agreeing with me."
Richter let loose a mad cackle that he was sure he would pay for later, but he couldn't help it. He was alive. They made it back to the bulwark. The sprite archers had created another wall of life flames, buying themselves a brief respite. The flames licked at the bottom of his boots, but he cleared them and landed on the other side of the incomplete fortification. Even though so much had happened, bare minutes had passed since he began his nearly suicidal plan to ride the Mauler into a sea of undead. He addressed the senior sprite again. "You have to hold this position as long as possible. I hope those two things kill each other, but if one starts making it up here, my previous orders stand. Leave and close the portal."
"Yes, my lord. Will you be defending with us?"
"No." Richter sheathed both black ice and his elementum short sword before downing his second-to-last stamina potion. The sounds of battle and cries of pain still sounded from above as the strike team tried to secure the 10th level. "I have someone to kill." Then he took off again, Alma flying close above.
Chapter 101, Day 150, Jurin 1, 0 AOC. Yoshi executed a perfect crane's neck, thrusting his sword through the mouth of a screaming banshee zombie, puncturing its brain and finally killing it. This happened just as Richter made it to the 10th level. It was the last monster to fall. This would have been wonderful if the adept wasn't also one of the last three members of the strike team standing. As the Chaos Seat's feed touched the landing, the adept withdrew his blade and turned towards Richter.
"Fure sutu, no,"
were Yoshi's last words before he crumbled to the ground, blood streaming from his eyes, nose, and ears like someone had turned on a tap. The only way he had been able to get close enough to end the banshee zombie was for him to suffer its full attack. The adept had paid the price. Richter ran over to the prone form and sighed with relief when he found a pulse. Analyze showed that Yoshi's health was very low, though, and it was continuing to fall. The only other two conscious fighters were Sion and Calder. The sprite's armor was punctured in two places, and both his own red blood and the black sludge of the undead covered him from head to toe. He was leaning against a nearby wall, lungs working overdrive as he tried to catch his breath. As Richter watched, he put the cork of a health potion between his teeth and pulled the stopper free. A second later, the red liquid was splashing down his throat, and the sprite let out a sigh of profound relief as his breathing eased. Calder stood nearby, missing an ear. The sergeant had rushed up the stairs once Quasia had collapsed and been tossed back through the gateway. His war door shield had been lost somewhere along the way, and all the bloodied man held was his enchanted mace. Blood flowed down the side of the sergeant's face, but he downed half a health potion before walking over and pouring the rest into Yoshi's mouth. The adept didn't wake up, but the color in his face improved slightly. The sergeant looked at Richter, ichor dripping from the man's mace and the sclera of one eye injected with blood. Whatever had torn off the man's ear had struck the side of his head hard. Richter revised his earlier estimate of how the sergeant looked. The man was on his last legs. He just wouldn't show it. Calder just drew himself erect and on wobbly legs clasped a fist to his heart.
"Lord Mist!"
Richter didn't know what to say for a moment, overcome with emotion at seeing the stoic loyalty in Calder's face. Then he looked around at the fallen and understood. Too much had already been lost. Battle still raged below them and their target waited above, but in that moment they were existing in a paradoxical oasis of peace.
For those few seconds, they could collect themselves and decide, not just react, on what they must do. That realization was what brought pride and sorrow to Richter's heart, because for Calder, a man that had lost friends and blood in this battle, there was actually no decision. Better to walk through the jaws of death, daring it to bite, than to let these fallen lives mean nothing. He would follow Richter and give everything he had. He would see the job done. The Chaos Seed couldn't think of anything he could do to add honor to such an honorable man, except to devote the same level of dedication to the cause. "Report," he ordered quietly, and handed Calder some forest sage to chew. The herb would not do much, but it would help a bit.
"Sir, we have secured the 10th level. Only the stairway to the roof remains and the vampires who guard it. We've taken heavy casualties. Only myself and First Mate on Scion are battle ready. We have used all of our healing and stamina potions. The wounded are being carried back through the portal, but more than half of our fighters are dead. The arrows and blades of the undead were laced with poison and death magic. The lack of life magic has made this a costly battle. Can we expect more reinforcements from the portal?"
"No," Richter answered, shaking his head. He had already asked Hisako. The Hearthmother had been clear that either the wounded could be brought back through the portal or reinforcements could be sent, but not both. And if more troops were sent, it would be a one-way trip. Richter had hoped he was making the right choice, but he couldn't just send his people or his allies here on a suicide mission. Not when there was a chance he could finish this himself. He had learned the lesson painfully, that he must rely on others, but in that moment of choice, he had also learned a corollary to that rule of leadership. Sometimes you had to trust in yourself. It was with a will stronger than steel that he knew he would not fail. Looking back at Calder, he asked, "Why haven't the vampires attacked?"
"I do not know, my lord. We have only seen the two you mentioned from the gas memory. They seem content to wait above. One of the sprites shot an arrow up at them, but it broke against a shield near the top."
Richter internalized all of this, then looked at them both. "I think I have a way to get by the vamps, but it might not work. The memory I stole from the ghast said that these two were master necromancers. I'm not going to lie. If it comes to battle, the three of us attacking two master vampire magi that know we're coming, it won't end well. I think it might be time for you two to head home. I can handle this." Scion and Calder just looked at him before looking at each other. The sprite held his hand out, and with a sigh, the sergeant took a pouch out of his armor and opened it. A moment later, Scion was holding a gold piece with a grim grin. Seeing Richter's confusion, he told him,
"We had a bet going that you would say something stupid and noble before the end of the battle. Calder had more faith in you. I unfortunately know just what a guilty you really are. So how about we finish this fight and then head home? Does that work for you, Sunshine?"
Richter looked back at them, then laughed in spite of himself. He immediately felt bad, laughing when he was surrounded by the dead, but it felt good to be reminded of who he was. He was Richter. He was just a man, not a god that had to shoulder all the world's burdens. He just had to do the best that he could, and thankfully, he didn't have to do it alone. Richter had friends and comrades, and come what may, they would do their very best. He nodded thanks to both of them. They nodded back, understanding him without words.
"I'm assuming you have some sort of plan?" Scion asked.
"Yeah,"
Richter replied slowly and with obvious reservation. He brightened a bit.
"You know, depending on your perspective, the—"
"Shut the fuck up and tell us the plan!"
Scion snapped at him, clearly no longer in the mood for banter. That might have had something to do with the fact that both the Devastator and the Void Mauler's battle had made its way from the second level of the mausoleum up to the fourth. There also seemed to be more Voidlings than before. Richter decided his friend had a point and outlined his stratagem in a few sentences. Scion stared at him incredulously when he was done talking. The sprite's only response was,
"Next time, don't tell me."
But he still hitched his bow and turned toward the final stairwell. The three men walked up the stairs, trusting in the mistworkers to get the remaining wounded back to safety. Richter also gave instructions to carry the dead to the portal, but not to push them through. If there was time at the end, they would retrieve their fallen, but not at the expense of the living. When they were halfway up the stairs, Richter took an arrow enchanted with death magic out of his quiver. Another several steps later, he saw the shattered remains of an arrow and knew they must be at the edge of the spell barrier. The three men stopped. Both vampires stood, not 20 yards away, looking down at the three of them with contempt on their faces. Richter lifted his arrow and took another step. Still on the string, the enchanted arrow came in contact with the barrier that flared with both the purple-black color of death magic, but also the neon green of the eldritch. His enchantments would not pierce this last defense. The vampires apparently thought the same.
"Now you will die, bloodbag," one pronounced with relish. "The Lich ordered us to leave you alive unless you somehow manage to survive the Guardians and attack this final shield. For your arrogance, however, we now get the joy of killing you," the other finished.
Both vampire magi raised their wands and began to chant.
"Wait!" Richter called out. "Lucas, Mikal, I have a gift for you."
Neither vampire stopped the buildup of their magic or cared a bit for what they saw as a last-ditch effort by prey to avoid death. All that changed after he withdrew the severed head of Nien from his bag of holding. Mikal's eyes widened in feral delight and his fangs grew longer in his joy. Lucas had seemed offended that a mere human would speak his name, but then he laughed with pure savage pleasure when he saw the malformed features of his hated enemy. Both of their wands remained raised, but the light died out from the ends. The sounds of battle continued to rage behind Richter, but he kept his eyes glued on the vampires. It was Mikal who spoke.
"You did this, human?"
"I did,"
Richter replied. He kept the head held high in one hand, and the other open and far from his weapons. Sion and Calder had no such reservations. Both had their weapons in hand, but to the aristocratic vampires, they might as well have been the help, meant to be used and ignored. Lucas had already walked down several steps to get a better look, but Mikal had remained wary. After Richter answered, though, he lowered his wand for the first time, and the Chaos Seed finally got the prompt he'd been praying for.
"Know this, by leaving active combat with the vampire magi Lucas and Mikal, the symbiosis boon, Deadly Charisma, of your Mark of the Adventurer has activated. Plus 2,500 relationship points with any sentient dead, undead, or living dead. Plus 10% relationship points with any sentient dead, undead, or living dead. Your deadly charisma boon and your gift, the severed head of their mortal enemy, have greatly increased your relationship with both Lucas and Mikal. Know this, you are considered food by the vampires Lucas and Mikal. Minus 25% to any relationship changes. You have gained plus 6,612 relationship points for gifting them with the severed head of their enemy, plus 1,875 relationship points. Total relationship points, minus 1,906. Congratulations! Your relationship with the vampires Lucas and Mikal have improved from angry, minus 10,000, to apathetic, minus 1,000. Live. Die, your fate matters not to me."
Richter breathed a silent sigh of relief. It had been a huge gamble for him to choose the Crypt Mistress boon of his Mark of the Adventurer. The Siphon boon would have greatly increased his stats and made him much more dangerous in battle. When he'd seen the hatred between the vampires and the Ghast, though, he'd known there was an opportunity here. The Deadly Charisma boon had opened the door to negotiation. Now he just had to kick it down before the army or undead caught up with the three of them and literally ripped them to pieces. Both vampires gazed upon the head for a few moments more, but neither came close to the spell barrier, separating them from Richter and his comrades. Mikal spit on the ground, then looked back at Richter.
"For this gift, I will spare your lives. Leave. You are not strong enough to overcome our shield in the small amount of time that you have left. Not with it bolstered with the magic of the mausoleum, and we could not allow it even if we desired to do so. The Lich's retribution would be fearsome. Take the few men and women you have that still draw breath and depart. Run and hide, Lukas echoed. The only reason you remain alive is because the Lich is busy communing with his master. When that is done, and he has the power he needs, he will rain a powerful vengeance upon you. Enjoy the last days of your life. We will allow you to leave. But if you attempt to breach the shield again, gift or no, we will destroy you.
Sion and Calder looked at Richter, but the Chaos Seed's eyes remained on the vampires.
I know that you have no love for your master.
Both the vampires' eyes tightened in disgust as they heard the last word. Let us pass. I will kill him.
No,
Mikal intoned.
There was no room for another answer in the vampire's tone.
We do hate Sing. The Lich has oppressed my people for centuries. He murdered members of our clan that were so old and venerable that they remembered the dawning of the last age.
While you have pleased us by delivering the final death to the guest, you have also made it impossible for us to help you. Centuries ago, our ancestors surrendered our birthright to the Lich. Without it, we cannot protect our people.
The vampire's lips twisted in anger.
Go, he ordered dismissively. I will waste no more time with you.
Richter didn't move, though. Instead, he reached into his bag once more. This time, he pulled out a small, clear jewel and held it aloft. It did not glow or exude a magical aura, but it captured the attention of the vampires immediately. They bared their fangs again, but this time in pure animosity and hatred. Emotions that were focused solely on Richter. The Chaos Seed didn't give them a chance to attack. He put the heart crystal back into his bag of holding.
Give it to us, human! Screamed Mikal.
The vampire's face had lost the elegant features of nobility. Now he was showing his true face, a sharp-toothed predator bred to feed.
I will rip out your eyes and your testicles, then shove your balls into your eye sockets and your eyes up your ass so that you can see your own shit and come in your own skull,
Lukas screamed. Richter had had a whole speech prepared to give the vampires, but the venom in that threat took him completely off guard. Even Mikal stopped and looked at his little brother in shock and surprise. It was quiet for a moment before Richter exclaimed,
Fuck, man! I mean, have you ever actually done that to someone?
Sion cleared his throat loudly.
You know what? Never mind. After all this is done, though, you should talk to someone about all that shit,
he pronounced, gesturing to all of Lukas.
Point is, I didn't show you the heart crystal to mess with you. I did it because I want to make a deal.
The deal is give it to us now or die,
Lukas spat. Mikal was more calm, though. He recognized a bag of holding when he saw one, and knew he couldn't retrieve the heart crystal without Richter's help, at least not quickly, and not without powerful magic. The older vampire placed a hand on his brother's shoulder.
What deal do you propose, human? Speak carefully, for we will never be your vassals.
Scratch idea one, Richter thought, but he didn't miss a beat. We have to kill the Lich. You hate the Lich, and I think Sing will just take the heart crystal back if he isn't dead. Let us through the shield. Help us kill this asshole, and you get the crystal. Plus, you owe me a favor.
And some golden items, Sion kicked in.
Richter looked at his friend with a frown, but then thought, what the hell? Like he said, some golden items, too. Now what do you say?
The two vampires looked at each other for long seconds, while the roars and howls from below grew even louder, before Mikal replied,
No.
No?
Richter replied incredulously. He knew how much these guys wanted the crystal.
No, Mikal repeated. We will not fight the Lich, and once we have the crystal, we will be able to handle our own defense, even if Sing turns his gaze towards us.
As far as owing you a favor, never has my clan been beholden to a human.
It's a new age, Richter told him. I don't know if you noticed way down here underground, but apparently the light show when the Age of Chaos came was absolutely fire.
Your words make no sense, Bloodbag,
Lukas spat.
You're just not woke, Richter replied. What I'm saying is that I don't have a lot of time, he pointed at the ever-widening battle below.
The Mauler was holding on to the Devastator, raking it with claws again and again. The colossal skeleton had hold of one of the void monster's legs and was in the process of pulling it off. There were over 100 voidlings now battling the thousands of other undead. It really wasn't clear who was winning. The Devastator skeleton was 4 times as big, but while the Mauler had always been a terrifying boss, now it looked like a kingdom ender. And when I say that I don't have a lot of time, Richter continued, I meant that we don't have a lot of time. If you attack, you might win, but then again, you might not. Either way, I'm an enchanter, and I promise you that you will never get anything out of my bag without my permission. This was, of course, at least partially and possibly completely a lie. He hadn't made the bag, and he was sure there were ways in the land of bypassing even soul bonds on objects, but somehow he was pretty sure you wanted to take a firm stance with master magician vampires. Now, you heard my terms. You rejected them. What's your counteroffer? Time is running short. The two vampires looked at one another, and Richter had the feeling that there was some type of nonverbal communication occurring. It only lasted a few seconds.
In exchange for the heart crystal, we will lower the shield. We will tell you how to defeat the lich yourselves. That is our offer.
Richter only thought for a moment before responding. Will one of you be the master of your restored place of power?
It will be I, Mikal responded.
Lukas's eyes flashed at his older brother momentarily, but he didn't disagree.
Then I will agree to your terms, but I also want good relations with you. I want to promise that you will not take arms against me or my people, and that we can open diplomatic relations at a later date.
With bloodbags, never—
You should really relax, Calder interrupted him. Maybe get some sun.
Not only did Lukas's fangs lengthen, but his talons extended as well.
You dare to mock me? He spat. I can already taste your blood from here.
Richter took a step forward, putting his body between the younger vampire and his sergeant. Just relax, he said in a conciliatory tone. Let me give you a piece of advice. Don't underestimate us. We keep it light with jokes until it's time to get dark. Then we get pitch black. His last words were bereft of all peace, and the threat was as obvious as a naked blade.
Hold, Mikal commanded, talking to both Richter and his brother.
Lukas flashed his eyes at his brother again, but did as instructed. The older vampire looked at Richter consideringly.
You truly wish to open negotiations with my clan in the future, even knowing that we view you as food.
Like I said, it's a new age. Besides, I've always wanted to fuck a vampire. Lukas's eyes bulged in anger again at that, but it looked like Mikal had to stifle a smile. Now take it or leave it, but if you agree, I will have a vow from you.
The brothers exchanged glances again, but Mikal nodded.
Then I demand the same.
When Richter nodded, he said,
We speak in tandem. I, Mikal, leader of the Silent Dream Clan,
he looked at Richter expectantly.
I, Richter, leader of the Mist Village, do hereby swear to offer safe passage to Richter and his comrades, do hereby swear to relinquish to Mikal the heart crystal of the Shadow Trench, and further swear to raise no arms against him or his people unless a formal declaration of war be made and your people be duly notified. May my words bind the actions of my people.
Mikal finished, looking at Richter again.
What about that secret of how to kill the lich? Calder called.
Both vampires glared at the sergeant, but Mikal continued.
I also swear to give all information that I know about delivering the final death to the lich Sing.
Richter looked at his friends, but they had nothing else to add. The sounds of battle made him want to look away, but he didn't dare take his eyes off of the vampire mage. Mikal walked forward, and then, with a word of power, banished the magic shield. His wand was still held tightly in his hands, though, and he stopped only 2 steps away from Richter. The pale-skinned vampire looked into Richter's brown face, and the two of them just took one another's measure before the master magi spoke again. As always happened in such cases, Richter felt as if something greater than himself was speaking through him. The ritual words poured forth from both of their mouths together, calling upon magic as ancient as the universe itself.
By these words we do bind together our wills and intent.
Let us hide not from the consequences of breaking this vow.
I do so swear.
I do so swear.
I do so swear.
Lucas, Sion, and Calder, all intoned.
Thrice heard and witnessed.
You have made a mutual vow with Mikal of the Silent Dream Clan. Failure by either party to uphold their side of the agreement will cause a decrease in your reputation with all beings and other unknown consequences, and will free the other member of this vow from any obligations. Keep in mind, your word means everything. Richter hadn't really been super happy about the whole being duly notified of a declaration of war thing, but he couldn't really argue against it either. Every second he would have spent dithering was one less second they had to return. He never forgot that the portal had a hidden countdown. The main point was that the shield was down and they could finally complete their mission. There was just one more thing he was owed first. Richter took the heart crystal out of his bag and said, "Spill." They looked confused for a moment, but the context wasn't too hard to figure out.
"The Lich knows our power, which is why he trusts us to guard this top floor. He also knows that we hate him, however, and so has never shared many secrets with us. What we do know is that the secret of his power is tied to his staff and the statue. The giant sculpture is a conduit to an exile that Singh worships, named Rakshasa. As destroying the statue is beyond you, I suggest you focus on destroying the staff, though I do not know how you will manage that either. If you do succeed, he will be cut off from the source of his greatest power, and you will have a chance, albeit a small one. Even without the staff, he is a powerful Lich Lord."
"That's it?" Sion asked aggressively.
"Yes, Sprite," Lucas spat. "Keep your tongue between your teeth. My brother's agreement does not absolutely protect you from me."
"Yes, it does," Richter told him with deadly intensity. Lucas looked at him with clear malevolence. Months ago, he might have risen to that challenge, but he had grown as a man and as a ruler. He did not have time to indulge this, but he would not forget in the future. "Is there anything else you can tell us?" he asked Mikal. The older vamp had flashed an angry glance at his impetuous brother and then turned the same expression on Richter. Whether that was because they had not received the heart crystal yet or because of Lucas's behavior wasn't clear. But when he spoke to the Chaos Seed, there was at least a modicum of respect in his voice.
"No, I cannot."
Richter looked at him a moment, then tossed the heart crystal to Mikal. The vampire's eyes flashed, but he caught it effortlessly. "Then I consider our bargain fulfilled. You have relinquished control of the heart crystal of the Shadow Trench. The mutual vow has been fulfilled by both parties." Mikal looked at the clear jewel in his hand as if he could not believe it was there.
"A human that keeps his word. Perhaps this new age truly will mean something new for all of us."
He thought a moment, then reached into his robes and handed Richter a blood-red coin. "You have found blood gold of the Silent Dream Vampire Clan. Durability 12 of 12. Item class uncommon. Weight 0.02 kilograms. Traits: can be used as currency and is the equivalent of 10 gold crowns. Also serves as a marker to indicate the favor of the ruler of the Silent Dream Clan."
"Perhaps we will meet again one day," Mikal stated. "But if any of your people are caught in our domain without this coin, they will be considered prey. I hold this to be within the bounds of nature and our agreement."
"Fair enough," Richter said. "I do not have a similar token for you, though." Mikal smiled, and it was as cold and ruthless as the pointed fangs it revealed.
"If we come to see you, it will be in the dead of night, and you will never know until we are already there."
With that pronouncement, Mikal spoke in a hissing yet eloquent-sounding language to Lucas. Both vampires spun, and by the time they had finished their turn, they had both transformed into giant bats. Each had a wingspan of 7 feet tip to tip. They flapped away, leaving nothing behind.
"You have to admit," Richter stated begrudgingly, looking after the disappearing vampire bats.
That was a baller exit.
Chapter 102, Day 150, Jurin 1, 0, AOC. The conversation with the vampires had another unexpected benefit. Your gift of tongue's ability has identified a new language, Tongue of the Fallen. Richter dismissed the prompt. It might come in handy in the future, but now was the time for battle. He slowly extended an arrow and confirmed the shield was indeed gone. With silent nods and bound in purpose, the three men climbed the final staircase. They held their heads high despite the fact that they were each bleeding, bruised, and pale. As they climbed, the three men kept scanning for more defenders, but they didn't see another soul, living or dead. Calder led the trio, his mace held at the ready. When they reached the top, Richter looked around. The roof looked exactly as it had in Nien's memory. The floor was made of the same gray metal blocks as the rest of the mausoleum. About 30 yards away was the large stone sarcophagus with the lid closed. Eldritch light leaked from the edges around the top. The only wall was directly in front of them. The other sides were open to the air. It only took one wall. One was enough to seriously freak all of them out. Sion and Calder were especially discomforted as they hadn't seen the horrifying faces that seemed frozen in agony before. Even for Richter, who had witnessed it in Nien's memory, it was so much worse seeing it in real life. The mouth and eyes of each face were holes that crossed the breadth of the wall and let the dancing green light shine through. The light just made it seem like the faces were actually alive and being eternally tortured. Richter spoke quietly to both of his comrades. Stay focused. The lich was in the coffin when I was viewing the memory. That's what we check first. If he's inside when we push the lid back, then we stab him to death and get the hell out of here. Now how does that sound?
Let's do this,
Sion responded, holding his elementum short sword.
Sounds like a perfect plan to me, my lord,
Calder said with a low voice.
If he's not in there,
then we go to plan B, Richter told him grimly.
Banished gods, please let the lich be in the coffin,
Sion prayed, really hating plan B. Richter nodded in agreement, and they slowly stalked forward. Their heads were on a swivel, but still no enemies appeared. The Chaos Seed reached out a hand to push the lid aside, but Calder stopped him. Shaking his head, the sergeant set his mace down. Then he started to push. The lid moved remarkably easily. So smoothly, in fact, that it flew off to the side and landed with a resounding crash. Richter cursed as he leaped forward with black ice raised. Sion leaned forward with an enchanted arrow knocked, and Calder scrambled to pick up his mace again. It was empty. Sion fixed the sergeant with a glare, and Calder glared right back.
It wasn't my fault,
the man began before looking puzzled. He met Richter's eyes for a solitary moment before his eyes erupted in green flame. Calder was not even given the time to scream before his skeleton ripped itself free of his body. Bits of flesh and blood flew everywhere, including all over Richter's face. Sion issued a startled curse, both of them looking in horror at the monster that had just emerged from their friend's body.
Name, Mausoleum Guardian. Disposition, Hatred. This skeleton is formed from a savaged corpse cursed by eldritch magic. The skeleton grows stronger the longer it is exposed to eldritch energy, and will remain on this plane indefinitely, using the soul of the slain as an anchor. It traps its victim's soul, tormenting it until this creature is destroyed. This undead retains all the skills, abilities, qualities, and expertise that its victim had in life. If destroyed, it will continue to feed off the eldritch energy in this building until it is resurrected. Special attack, Eldritch Growth. Creature gains levels and power the longer it is exposed to eldritch magic. Level, 19. Health, 380. Mana, 210. Stamina, 290. Strength, 32. Agility, 27. Dexterity, 27. Constitution, 38. Endurance, 29. Intelligence, 21. Wisdom, 20. Charisma,
8. Luck, 15. The eldritch glow inside of the coffin flared, and a tether of the same neon green energy appeared between the skeleton and the sarcophagus. Analyze showed Richter that the skeleton gained a level in just that first instant of contact, and it grew 2 inches in height. This is Calder. This is Calder. This is Calder! The thought just kept running through Richter's head. He was so distracted that he didn't even hear the loud clicks that reverberated through the floor. His mind was completely consumed with disgust and sorrow as he looked at Calder's remains. More flesh was either falling or being burnt away by the eldritch flames surrounding the undead. The guts fell out the front of the chainmail the skeleton was wearing, wet loops making meaty slap sounds as they hit the gray metal floor. It looked at Richter and reached toward him with a burning hand. That threat snapped something in Richter, and he turned cold. Normally in battle, his emotions ran hot, and a primitive side of him took control. This time, all he felt was dispassionate fury. This thing had killed his friend. This thing still had his friend's soul. This thing had to die! Sion shot it with a freeze arrow which dulled the green flames in its chest somewhat. It knocked the monster back one step, and that was all the opening Richter needed to attack. With quiet fury, he swung black ice at the same spot. There was no finesse in his attack, just pure hatred. His first swing knocked the creature down to its knees. The second opened a rent in the chainmail. The third fractured its ribcage. The tether of eldritch light continued to heal and increase its power, but not even the mausoleum could match the damage Richter's named weapon was inflicting with his powerful swings. He attacked the skeleton until pieces were missing from its skull. Its arms had been hacked off, its leg bones had been shattered, and the remains of Calder's organs were splattered across his armor. The Skeeling scales were no longer white. Sion could not stop him. With each swing, names streamed through his head. Ox, Schroeder, Kenjiro, Yoshi, Czar, Calder, Petal. Each name was a recrimination, both to himself and the universe, for letting his friends and comrades die. Each name made him sink further into a cold rage as he bludgeoned the skeleton that had once been a man he'd respected. Both his rage and sword blows turned on the sarcophagus as well, but the stone was unyielding. Even his most powerful swings could barely scratch the large coffin. In the end, Alma was only able to reach him when she blocked his sight of the felled monster with her own body.
"You have done it," she said softly in his mind. "You have one more battle to fight, my love. Come back to us."
Richter swung his blade a final time, and a sob ripped its way out of his throat. He looked at his familiar. Alma was right. There was one more creature he had to kill, and it was high past time that the lich died the final death. He turned and glanced at Sion, for the first time seeing the fearful gaze his best friend adopted when Richter lost control. A heaviness fell onto his heart at seeing his best friend's expression, but he didn't say a word. He would talk to Sion about it at a later time. Right now, there was blade work to be done. Richter looked down at the body of the mausoleum guard.
"It's not dead," Sion commented.
The tether of eldritch light still connected it to the coffin. Richter had hacked it to bits, but the cracks in the bones were already healing.
"Not yet, but it will be. We finish the job. We go to Plan B. If we survive, we can mourn for our friend later."
Sion nodded. They were both about to walk towards the wall of faces when a roar made Richter look back towards the stairs. That roar saved their lives. The two behemoth monsters hadn't made it to the top of the mausoleum yet. In fact, Richter couldn't even see them as they were hidden from view by the floor, but he did see a flash of red. The Chaos Seed grabbed Sion's shoulder roughly, keeping him from taking a single step away from the stone sarcophagus. The sprite looked at him sharply, but Richter maintained his grip on his friend and continued to stare at the floor. As he watched, more red glows appeared. First 5, then 12, then more than 50, and Richter stopped trying to count. He looked at Sion and said, Traps. Richter kept watching, and almost the entire floor behind them turned crimson. The farthest traps appeared first, and then more hidden triggers turned red like a slow-moving algae bloom. At first, he thought he was seeing traps arm themselves in succession, but then he understood what he was really seeing. The traps closest to the stairs were the lowest level. The ones getting closer to the back wall were better concealed, and his Pierce the Veil skill was having to struggle to see them, which meant there still might be traps he just couldn't detect in other areas that weren't glowing red yet. Richter looked past the sarcophagus towards the wall of faces. After a few seconds, a few more red glows appeared, but it was nothing like the sea of scarlet closer to the stairs. He knew in his gut that didn't mean the floor between the coffin and the wall of screaming faces was safe. In fact, it meant just the opposite. There were traps. They were just too high level for him to see. He looked back at Sion. I've got some bad news.
Any good news? The sprite asked with gallows humor.
Richter looked at the 100 yards of real estate between them and the door, through the wall of faces. A football field of gray metal that had been seeded like a deadly and invisible minefield.
No.
And he's twitching. Sion looked down at the monster created from Calder's remains and saw that some of the bones were indeed connecting back together. A couple swings of his elementum short sword fixed that problem, at least momentarily.
It's not going to stop growing stronger, the sprite said with a mix of resignation and sadness.
They were both trying not to think too much about the fact that one of their friends had just died in one of the worst ways imaginable.
I know, Richter answered quietly, which is why you need to head back through the portal.
He held up a hand before Sion could even respond.
Look, man, we both knew this might be a one-way trip, even if everything had worked out well. It didn't. We had to fight our way through floors of these fuckers, and a lot of people died. And now Calder.
He stopped talking for a moment, the words catching in his throat.
Calder has already paid the price, and we haven't even seen the Lich yet. Now we're stuck here in a sea of traps that I can't even detect. Even if I could, I wouldn't have the time to disarm them all before one of those giants fighting it out only a few floors below us wins.
He laid his hand on Sion's shoulder. I can't change any of that. What I can do is coast right over these traps with my cloud running skill and hope they don't have a proximity trigger. It's only 30 yards back to the stairs. I'd be willing to bet that there aren't any traps once we clear the roof. I'll carry you there. You make it back through the portal. I'll finish the lich. Once I'm done, I'll see you back in the village.
You think you can kill a centuries-old master of magic that knows you're coming? I thought you'd finally learned your lesson trying to do everything yourself. You think I'm not hurting too? Calder wasn't the only friend I lost today, Richter.
We do not have time for this,
the Chaos Seed shouted. The sounds of battle below them were growing louder, which meant the fight between the two giants was growing closer.
Wake up! I'm not making it back through the portal, man! And if you come with me, you're probably not making it back either. I know that I can cloud run you the 30 yards to get to the stairs before my stamina runs out. I do not know that I can get us the more than 100 yards to the wall. I don't even know if the ground will be safe if we do make it to the wall. Even if we do make it that far, and even if we do kill the Lich, I can't leave this mausoleum intact. I can't let Calder's soul be trapped here forever.
Plan B? Sion asked in irritation and anger. And you intend to die when it happens?
If that's what it takes, Richter shouted.
You're out of your fucking mind, the sprite said softly. How do you even know if that will work?
I don't. That's why I'm throwing everything I have at this. All of it. Including what I gave you earlier.
Sion was quiet for a moment.
How do you know that you'll come back this time if you die? You told me what He-Man said. You've already died twice. This might be your last life.
Richter forced a false smile.
Hey, don't worry. I'm a lucky guy.
The smile slipped away. Besides, it's been a wild ride, man. I've got no complaints, but what I do have is more than 1,000 people counting on me. That includes all of your people, too. I have to do this. The sprite looked at him quietly again, but then he nodded.
Richter sighed in relief that his friend was actually listening to him. He could save at least one person he loved.
The minuscule joy faded when Sion spoke.
Everything you're saying is right. I know that we will most likely not return, but I am a child of the forest. I know you're trying to save me, but you'll need my help to save everyone else. Now you're wasting time. Let's go.
Richter looked at his friend, and his heart tightened. He would not show the disrespect of ignoring his friend's choice, though.
Together, then.
The two men clasped wrists, and then he looked at Alma. The dragonling flew down to him, and he caught her in his arms. The extra armor was lightweight, but he took care to avoid her new claws. She looked up at him and licked his face.
It all relies on you, my love.
Be safe, he told her.
You'll need all the speed you can get. I need you to fly like the wind.
That's why these are for you. He brought out both psi crystals he'd gained from the chupacabras and had her inhale the mental energy. She siphoned the blue-white glow from each, and he quickly accessed her status page. This time, there was no doubt or hesitation in his choice.
You have purchased Flight Speed 2. Alma's base speed is now increased by +20%. Total psi points remaining, 64. You have purchased Flight Speed 3. Alma's base speed is now increased by +30%. Total psi points remaining, 24.
The last points he left for her to use if needed. If they survived the next hour, then they could invest them into whatever enhancement she wanted. In the meantime, her body glowed with the energy of thought magic. Her wings lengthened, but also thinned. The actual structural composition of her bones changed, becoming harder and lighter at the same time. Her face thinned, and the snapping movement of her tail became more pronounced. Alma had become a deadlier version of herself.
I will not fail you, Master.
Her tone was hungry and eager as she leapt from his embrace with two items clasped in her claws. She flew almost straight up, gaining altitude until she flew through an opening high on the wall. In the process, Richter finally saw what was beyond the wall. It had been obvious that each level of the mausoleum was smaller than one below it, but he hadn't known that the back of the core building was flat. He'd been mistakenly thinking of it like a pyramid when really it looked more like a ramp. What lay beyond the wall of faces was a walkway of gray metal only 20 yards across. It extended nearly 100 yards past the wall. To either side was only open air and a sheer drop into the abyss. At the end of the walkway, he could see the Lich. Both of the Magi's hands were upraised, and tethers of green eldritch flame connected his fingers to the swirling ball of energy in front of the statue of the exile. Richter quickly told his friend what he'd seen.
Two imbued arrows? Blow his ass off the walkway?
The sprite asked.
Shake and bake, El Diablo.
Then Richter cast weak haste, bent down so Sion could jump on his back, and they were off. The Chaos Seed ran as quickly as he could, every step letting him glide for 3 seconds. When his coasting time elapsed, he pushed off the air itself, his stamina dropping much further now that he was carrying another 200 pounds of sprite. Richter just ran faster, knowing he might only have 4 or 5 jumps before his feet touched the ground and ensured an almost certain death. Richter's heart thudded the entire time, but they made it to the wall. He steeled himself for when his feet finally touched down in the doorway, praying there wasn't a trap. Though they landed heavily, he had run out of stamina on the last jump, they managed to land in one piece. The Chaos Seed lay panting on the ground, wishing he'd invested more points into endurance.
Get up,
Sion whispered to him tersely. The sprite had one eye on the Lich, but the Magus hadn't turned around. Singh seemed completely focused on the ritual he was performing. Richter glared at his friend and whispered back,
You have no idea how hard what I just did was. Do you have a stamina potion or what?
The sprite glared back but tossed Richter a vial filled with green liquid.
That's the last one. I don't have any more health or mana either.
The Chaos Seed downed the potion and felt strength return to his limbs. A moment before, he had felt like he'd sprinted a marathon. Now, he just felt like he'd boxed a heavyweight and lost. Sion helped him to his feet, and both men unhitched their bows. Arrows knocked, they began to imbue. Gold lights sprung into existence around Richter's exactly 3 seconds after a blue aura surrounded Scion's. They both poured almost their entire mana pool into the blows, relying on this opening salvo to overcome and destroy the distracted lich. Seconds later, they released. Twin bolts of energy trailed through the air, converging on the undead lord. They homed in.